Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the hot topic that's found on all news headlines today across America and around the globe, and that is where President Trump has agreed to pull the troops out of the southern portion of Turkey bordering on Syria. Some have said it has 400 troops, and President Trump on one of his tweets today said it was about 50 troops, the Kurds that have been allies with America. And by the way, they were initially funded as some of the intruding army and military forces into Syria. And it was done with the gun running that was taking place that brought about the death of an ambassador and others in Libya some few years ago by Hillary Clinton. That was the backdrop of some of what was taking place then. But ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the coming global Islamic invasion and we talk about the war with Russia, and I want us to understand President Donald Trump and how he fits into the prophetic picture of what he's been doing for the nation of Israel and his stand with Israel. He stood with Israel more than any other president the past 50 plus years. And as a result of that, we're watching how God is using this. And I don't believe that any recognition of this is found by President Trump. I don't believe he's doing this on the basis that let me see what I can do to be a prophetic figure. But God is using him just as we do not see how God is using America and what God is doing with each of us individually. But God does. God is still on the throne. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the key factors, listen very carefully, for us to make our transition into the looking at the biblical text in Ezekiel 38 and 39. One of the key factors with the Islamic jihadists, perhaps you've wondered what causes them to be so bloodthirsty, what causes them to be so vicious and vain and valiant in what they seem to be doing in coming against all peoples, everything that's not Islamic, coming against the Jews and the Gentiles and every nation that is not Islamic to try to force it to submission. The word Muslim means, Islam means to submit. And they're wanting everybody to submit because here's the point. They believe that I believe it was some 868 A.D., that an imam, which was the 12th imam, it was coming out of the background of the imams following Muhammad and the system, and that 12th imam, they believe, was hidden, and it was hidden by Allah, and he was hidden by Allah and hidden until the day of judgment. In fact, a Southern Baptist author and evangelist, Anish Shiro is now going to be with the Lord, but Anish Shiro explained that many Shiites also refer to the 12th Imam as the Mahdi, an Arabic word that generally refers to, is reference to a Messiah or a guide. And it's their belief that the only way that this 12th Imam, this hidden Imam, this Islamic Messiah, the only way for him to reappear, he's been hidden, sequestered by Allah on their ideological bent and belief, and they believe the only way for him to reappear and to bring victory for Islam and to cause the whole world to be converted to Islam is for there to be catastrophic wars and catastrophic battles, and that will allow this hidden Imam, their Islamic Messiah, to come on the scene. They believe that at the apex of the catastrophic events that will be brought about by their involvement in a global event of military force, they believe that somehow, some way, that will bring about this 12th Imam, this hidden Imam. And when he returns, they believe, listen carefully, the Islamics believe that when this hidden Imam, this Islamic Messiah returns, that Jesus Christ will also return. Jesus will work hand in hand with this hidden Imam, this Islamic Messiah, to Jesus, along with this hidden Imam, this coming Messiah of Islam, will then cause the whole world to bow and to convert to Islam. This article, for example, says this man will come to show them the way because the prayer of every Muslim today, five times a day, ends with the quote, "Show us the right path, not the path of those who have incurred your anger and those who are lost, but upon those who your grace," speaking to Allah, has been shown. This Mahdi, the Shiites traditionally believe, is the Muhammad Ibn Hassan, H-A-S-A-N, the 12th in the line of the Imams, who were descendants of the Prophet Muhammad. Though they do not know when the Mahdi will return, they believe he will come to end the misery of his people, the Islamics. Some strains of Islam even hold a belief that Jesus will be the Mahdi who will return and proclaim Islam as the true religion of the world. Now, if that's not perverted, messed up, nothing is. but out of Islamic belief and Islamic ideology. It's nothing but a demonic bent and a demonic belief to begin with. But ladies and gentlemen, what does the Bible say? What does Ezekiel 38 and 39 say? How should we view this? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this in advance of our discussing the biblical text itself. Let me say that Russia has never been invaded and taken over. You hear me? Napoleon, for example, is invasion of Russia. Let me just read you a little blurb that I've used, and I quote this in my book, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. After taking power in 1799, French leader Napoleon Bonaparte, upon a string of victories giving him control over most of Europe, in 1812, Napoleon raised an army of troops over all of Europe and entered Russia, June 24, 1812. One writer said, quote, "It was the most diverse European army since the Crusades, perhaps as many as 650,000 soldiers. Then the article continues, "Due to sleet, rain, electrical storms, horses and troops were killed, multitudes of soldiers deserted, some died with typhus and other diseases. Professor David A. Bell, professor of Princeton University and author of the first Total War, said, and I quote, "Thousands of men died while in battle. By September the 7th, 1812, some 70,000 casualties. By October 19th, 1812, realizing that he could not survive the winter, Napoleon was down to some 100,000 troops. Remember, he started with about 650,000. Down to about 100,000 troops. Horses were dying in droves. Things grew worse very quickly. Professor Bell said, and I quote, "Charles the 12th tried it. Napoleon tried it. Hitler tried it. It never seems to work out by invading Russia." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a foreboding thought, but I want us to understand we've been talking about several years now. The politicians in Washington have been telling us that the Cold War is over, that the Cold War is no more, that Russia is not the Cold War bear that's lifting up its head and its hammer to try to crush America and the Western world. Since the breaking up of the former USSR, Vladimir Putin has sought to reassimilate all of the territory and reclaim the power once held by Russia. Listen, with the election, looking at it in the past tense now, with the election of Barack Hussein Obama, all global power has shifted since then. Most, if not all, nations, either outright or in subtle form, hate America today or reject America as a nation of strength. America's weakness, I believe, has caused a vacuum of power. Today, ladies and gentlemen, Russia, under the leadership of Putin, has assumed influence and power and control and recognition that most people, including American politicians, never thought or believed possible. In recent years, the world has witnessed the Russian bear rise to its head and aggressively march across former USSR, its geographical territories, and reclaim and thus assimilate state after state after state. You witnessed it. We've heard it. We've seen it. We understand what's taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, Russia has now openly shown its hand, and I say it's flexed its muscle, by aggressively entering into Syria with an attitude of intimidation and boldness. Russian warplanes fly over Syria every day. Russian warplanes are in the airports and in the places all over Syria, where it shows that Putin has been basically using Syria for many years now as a puppet state, just as other states in that part of the world. Russia is the bear that's in control behind the scenes. We're doing battle today with Russia, though we're not announcing it, we're not saying it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, in Afghanistan for 20 years prior to us entering into the fray with our sending troops, we had empowered Osama bin Laden. We had funded him. We had given him weapons. And then after about 20 years of his battle, he was battling Russia for us. He was our proxy doing battle with Russia. We've been an ongoing battle with Russia now for quite some time. And then Osama bin Laden decided to turn its back on America and became America's enemy. And then it was, woe is me, why did he get the power, why did he get the knowledge and the weaponry, the manpower, et cetera, et cetera. So we crushed Osama bin Laden, and we're still in Afghanistan, and it's still that proxy war because Russia is the main player. It's no different, ladies and gentlemen, that back in 1950, when we had the Korean War, it was called the Korean conflict, never a war declared. And we were literally fighting China by proxy, and China was the major enemy in North Korea. And after 3 years, we finally had an armistice agreement drawn up and signed where we literally retreated. We didn't win the war. We still have some 30 to 50,000 military troops on the demilitarized zone between South Korea and North Korea because we did not admit that we had lost the battle because it was a proxy war. It was not a war with America and North Korea. It was a war with America and China. And we've done that historically with battles with China and battles with Russia. We do it through proxy states and not through an open combat with Russia or with China. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are watching this come about today. The so-called Syrian Resistance Army, the very soldiers, and they're the ones that they call the Kurds today, part of them, and the very soldiers that are selected and supported and armed by the Benghazi gun-running deal that was carried out by the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, at the time. And that was all quashed, and I'm praying that some of the investigatory work that's taking place now will uncover some of that. U.S. politicians for years believed that and openly stated that the Cold War was over, as I said a moment ago. But Russia is not in ruins. It's not in retreat. It's still standing up. Are we to be shocked? Are we to be surprised? Those familiar with biblical prophecy and already aware of what God's word warns us about, it's found, ladies and gentlemen, in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And while I'm on the air today, I invite you to open your Bible and simply read over it. I'm not going to try to do a verse-by-verse exegetical study. I've done that as a special pulpit message. It's a two-hour message from the pulpit, going as fast as you can through Ezekiel 38 and 39, setting the stage, painting the picture, giving a full, vivid understanding of what God is doing. There's some Bible scholars and learned theologians that refer to Ezekiel 38 and 39 as the coming Battle of Armageddon. I've said before, let me say again, it is not the Battle of Armageddon. It's not so. It is the battle, ladies and gentlemen, the war with Russia, the coming global Islamic invasion, where Islam will be invading with the Russia leading, the five Islamic nations coming against Israel, then proliferate across the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're seeing the stage being set today. We don't know how long it'd be. It could be months, could be years, could be days, but I believe we're watching as the characters are being placed on the stage is being set, and we're getting ready to see what God is doing. It is, we look at, ladies and gentlemen, the first 11 verses of Ezekiel 38 and then going into 39. Time will not allow it. I want you to read the scripture. I'm going to tell you about it. You read the scripture. Time will not allow us to do a biblical exegetical work in the moments that we have left on the broadcast. The prophecy of the war is recorded, though. First of all, we see in verse 1 through 6 in Ezekiel 38 the players that are disclosed in this text. God's word outlines us for us exactly who will be involved in this war with Russia. The first adversary that's involved is Russia itself. Long before Russia came into being as a world power, careful biblical scholars were identifying this prophecy with Russia with amazing accuracy. In fact, let me read you an elongated quote from 1888. Walter Scott wrote these words, and may I read them carefully because it is so prophetically true of what we're seeing today, and it was written in 1888 in Russian reference to Ezekiel 38 and 39 in particular. Russia is evidently destined to become the master of Asia. Her frontier line across Asia will be 5,000 miles long. It is well known that Russian policy is one of steady aggression, not only in Europe, but in Asia. She is probably the most ambitious and grasping of modern kingdoms, the most faithless and in public honor and treaty agreement. The character ascribed to her in the prophetic scriptures, coupled with the frequent outbreaks of undisguised hostility to the things of God, and in the more awful future, exhibits Russia is the most unfavorable light. Russia has for ages meditated on the conquest of Asia, India, and China. Great Britain and the United States stand face to face with Russian power, and these two sides will come into one final awful struggle. We judge that the tide of Russian conquest will follow on the frontiers of China. The ascendance of Russia into the East and the revival of the old Roman Empire in the West necessitates the meeting of these two dominating opposing powers, and the great Jewish question must be settled at Jerusalem, the city of the great king, leading to the millennial triumph in Israel and her headship over the nations of the world. We believe from the place of that is assigned to Russia in the Word of God, that her legions will sweep over the plains and mountains of Asia and become the dominant power over all the East until she falls forever on the mountain of Judah. Thus she will command for a time the powers north of Palestine and east of the Euphrates River. Ladies and gentlemen, the name Russia and the Soviet Union do not appear in the scripture. But the description of this invading league is clearly Russia. The military invasion is led by Gog, the scripture says, referring to the leaders of the land of Magog, which referred to the territory from which we get the word Gog. A person is the land of Magog. Gog is the invading leader. Gog is mentioned 11 times in the scripture in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're talking about the coming war with Russia. We're talking about the coming global invasion, Islamic invasion, coming by, led by Russia and the five Islamic nations. Ladies and gentlemen, this scripture in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is talking about Russia leading these five Islamically controlled nations. We'll talk about those nations. Modern Magog, former Soviet Republic of Kazakhstan, and all of the other stands, as I call them, the northern parts of Afghanistan, one common link, the one common link of all of these stands, as I call them, and the five nations that Russia will lead, is that of Islam. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you'd like to have clarification or further understanding. I'm taking a rapid journey chronologically over where we're headed and what we're going to do, what we're seeing on the headline news that leads to what is found, eschatologically speaking, the prophetic text in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Russia, here's some interesting facts about Russia that should cause us to stagger in our imagination of what we're up against as global powers. 1/6 of the world's land mass, 8.6 million square miles, make up Russia. Over two continents, 11 time zones, over 289 million people, about 85 ethnic groups, many language varieties and customs and religions. 12 different ethnic groups account for 89% of the population. Russia has a 4,500-mile border with China. China has over 1 billion people. Russian territory is larger than China, Europe, and the USA combined. Russia will be used of God for his purpose of getting the attention of his people, the Jewish people. God knows how to bring a nation or a people to their knees before him. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God will use the Islamic jihadist terrorist group to wake America up from its rejection of God. The players disclosed, the adversary that is involved. We find, first of all, these allies in verse 5 and 6 in Ezekiel 38. The invading forces of Russia will be aided by armies of five allied countries, all Islamic. First of all, will be Persia. It's modern Iran. And I've said time and time again, I believe it will be the amalgamation of Iran and Iraq, which make up the old Persian Empire and will include Iraq. Iran, ladies and gentlemen, has been allied with Russia from way back. Iran secretly holds major nuclear technologies today. Mostly from Russian scientists. They are developing the nuclear technology. That was one of the reasons that President Trump pulled out of it, because if he had remained in it, if we had kept America in that nuclear agreement that President Barack Hussein Obama had entered into with Iran, paid them $150 billion, several pallets of cash money flown in secretly and given to the Iranian imams, and them having the right to continue to develop nuclear power, but supposedly they would not be able to make a nuclear bomb for 15 years. Ladies and gentlemen, 15 years is only a speck on the wall of eternity when you understand it. What President Obama had done was giving the carte blanche authorization of Iran to develop a nuclear weapon to control all of the Middle East. And President Trump said, no, not on my watch, we're not going to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, they've had the technology, and that technology, I believe, was brought into Iran by Russian scientists, and I believe that can be documented very easily. But Persia, Iran, has the Strait of Hormuz, and between Iran and Oman, the narrowest point, just 45 miles wide of the world's oil, all of the world's oil passes through that, 45 miles wide, and every bit of the world's oil that's coming around the globe is shipped through the Straits of Hormuz. And that is controlled today by Iran. It borders Russia, 1,350 miles. Then there's Ethiopia, it says in Ezekiel 38. What is Ethiopia? Who is that? It's modern Sudan. They have 35 million population, an Islamically dominated nation. Libya, known today as Libya. It ties with Russia. Russians stand with Libya in the UN. Anytime Libya is challenged or criticized, it is Russia that gives them the carte blanche authorization. Benghazi is a result, I believe, of Obama's and Hillary Clinton's overthrow of Gaddafi and the running of guns and weapons and military equipment from Libya via Benghazi to Syria for the U.S.-backed Syrian Free Army used to overthrow Assad, as they were claiming it was attempted to be. Then, according to Ezekiel 38, another one of the players is Gomer. Who is Gomer? It's Germany, modern Germany today. Today, Germany is on the verge of being totally dominated by Islam, now being ravaged by the Islamic jihadists. In fact, Angela Merkel can do nothing about it. Angela Merkel is totally out of control of Germany. Germany is in the domination control today, the grasp, the fist of the Islamic jihadists across Germany. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, Genesis 2:10 and verse 2 shows that Gomer and Magog and Meshach are among the sons of Japheth, who we can then conclude that Gomer, with ancient blood ties to the people who inhabited the land of Russia, identified as Germany today. It was Russia's Gorbachev that allowed the Berlin Wall to be torn down and allowed East and West Germany to reunite, which had been divided since World War II. Gomer and all her bands, the scripture says, Germany came close to winning World War II. The Nazis attempted all global control and cost some 35 million lives. It took the combined powers of British, Soviet Union, and the United States to bring Germany to a halt. Yes, we will witness the anti-Semitic Germany with Russian march against the Jews. The Quran teaches that Jews are simply pigs to be killed. And the fifth one, ladies and gentlemen, in this Ezekiel 38 and 39 text that will be led by Russia, says Togomar, and that is modern-day Turkey and Syria. Both of these countries are Islamic. Both of these oppose and hate anything that will be done out of Israel. Both of them oppose and hate the United States of America. All the nations that invade Israel with Russia are Islamic-controlled, anti-Jewish, anti-America, highly motivated to destroy Israel today. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, it follows Ezekiel 37, right? Ezekiel 37 was the prophetic text of Israel being reunited, coming back into the land and forming a nation. That took place May 15, 1948, when Israel became a nation after 2,500 years of diaspora, that is being separated, spread over the globe, spread across the nations of the world. First time in the history of the world that a nation, after being out of power for 2,500 years, ever came back into power and became a reinstated nation. And that's what took place at May 15, 1948. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the coming global Islamic invasion. We're watching that today. May I remind us, a time when there's a feeling of safety, Ezekiel 38 and 39. And Ezekiel 37, that was talking about unwalled villages, a time when Israel will feel safe. And that's coming about, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just touch on this. It's coming about ultimately one day where the Antichrist will sign a peace pact, seven-year treaty, or covenant it's called, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 through 27. And halfway point of that covenant, he'll break the treaty, break the covenant, and try to wipe out and destroy the nation of Israel. That is then the spark that spreads around the globe with the coming total cataclysmic event called the Battle of Armageddon. But ladies and gentlemen, this we're talking about in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the coming global Islamic invasion. It is the war with Russia. And we're watching what President Donald Trump has just done, where President Trump has said that these nations, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Europe, and Germany and Russia, will now have to do the battle in the Middle East. It is not where America has taken the hands off, but it's where President Trump has just spoken, I believe, prophetically, unknowingly, of what God is going to do in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, hi. I just got out of the synagogue this morning, and I didn't get most of your show. But I do agree. Yeah, thank you. I do agree that Trump's unwittingly being pulled by the deity, and he's fulfilling prophecy. But from the human standpoint, deserting the Kurds, I didn't particularly care for that. But again, God's sovereign will overrules man's.
I'm in agreement with what you're saying. I have a compassion for the Kurds and what they've done. They've been wanting their own homeland for some time. And I had viewed a couple of years ago the potentiality of them being able to have that homeland, that little strip of land. I believe it's some 19 miles wide and covers the bottom portion of Turkey, bordering on Syria, bordering on the top side of Israel, which gives the protection of Israel from Turkey and from Syria. And there's that little cushion in there, if you will. But as you said, and I'm full agreement with that, though we may have disdain for it, a disagreement with that, and not fully fathom it, I believe it's God's intervention, again, just as on in 2016, in November 2016, God divinely intervened and put President Donald J. Trump in office to bring about what he has done today. He's been the most friendly president to the nation of Israel and working cooperative effort with the nation of Israel than any other president the past 50 years, and I'm delighted to see that. And though we say from the human standpoint, as you've said, and I reiterate that, it is bad and looks like shameful, and Lindsey Graham has taken the president to task over that. And quite frankly, I think Lindsey Graham is wrong in saying that. If you want to say that, say it to president privately, but not come side alongside of the socialist Marxist Democrats to try to in some way undermine our president publicly. I think it's wrong. But nevertheless, again, I believe it. We're watching the providential hand, the sovereign hand of God, bringing this about, that we will notice and understand the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39 taking place. And it's a Russian-led five Islamic nations that will come against the nation of Israel. You're exactly
right.
And
it looks like it's happening at breakneck speed. However, a word of caution, let's just be cautious about definitely saying it'll happen. Now, it does look that way, but since the 1980s fiasco, and I became a believer in the early 70s, and I saw these date setters either directly or indirectly or among good evangelicals, so I'm still going to be cautiously optimistic.
Oh, absolutely. I gave a disclaimer two or three times during the course of this broadcast. I said to our listeners, don't you dare say that I'm saying this is it, this is the start
right.
of it. But we're watching the progressive standing up of Russia. We're watching progressively Russia come in and dominate what is taking place in the Middle East,
yeah.
because it will be the ultimate fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. It could be days, could be months, could be years, but I believe we're watching the prophetic eschatological calendar of God coming to fruition.
Amen.
Cause every Christian to sit up, look up, lift up our heads, because our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.